We present Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo, Amy MacDonald, and Eunice Dobbs in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is the man of the minute, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed, and hello. Welcome once again to Just a Minute and also this delightful and erudite-looking panel. We have two most attractive people, Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo, who have been on the program since it started, and on the distaff side, far outshining them in personal looks, Amy MacDonald, who is lovely, and Una Stubbs, who is also lovely. And they are going to compete with Derek and Clement Freud against each other, of course, in just a minute, in which I will throw, as probably many of you know now, a subject out to one of them at different times and ask them to speak for just a minute without deviating, without pausing, or without going off the subject. Let us start straight off this week with Derek Nimmo, and I would like Derek to talk, if he can, about my honeymoon starting now.
My honeymoon took place in the south of France. We started off, actually, I was married in Liverpool, and then we came down and we stayed at the Dorchester Hotel overnight. Then we caught a train, a very slow train, and as soon as we arrived in the south of France, my wife developed a violent attack of asthma, and I had to summon the local doctor. This went on for two or three days and three or four nights. And Bulgaria, actually, she recovered after that because she met an old lady on the beach with a hooter.
Amy MacDonald, why are you
I think I was a bit late, actually, but he was talking about his honeymoon being dreary. I don't see how a honeymoon can be dreary.
Well, you don't know Derek Nimmo, obviously. It was a very good try. I'm sure no honeymoon of yours could ever be dreary, Amy, but Derek seems to be conveying this point. I hope it gets more cheerful as it goes on, Derek. You've still got the subject. Starting now.
Well, towards the end of the honeymoon, I received a telegram from one Arthur Lane summoning to come back to London to appear in a play. When I got back to London, I found that the play had been cancelled. And I thought the whole thing was very disastrous because I couldn't go back to the south of France. I'm only at the end of the honeymoon. If anybody wants to challenge me, they should, if I was there.
Amy MacDonald, you've challenged again.
Deviation.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You
were going back and forth,
wasn't
you? Right off
your honeymoon, didn't you?
Right, early on.
Amy, would you like to take up this subject? There are 10 seconds. No, there are 9 seconds left. Starting now.
My honeymoon wasn't very exciting at all, really, because we didn't really have time to have a proper honeymoon. So we went to see my mother-in-law, who lives in Ohio.
Derek, you just got your challenge in before the hooter.
Well, she said she didn't have a proper honeymoon. She said she wasn't talking about her honeymoon. She was talking about her mother-in-law, which she obviously didn't like anyway.
I totally disagree. It was still my honeymoon. I don't know anything about Amy's.
My absence of honeymoon, she was talking about.
Derek, I don't know anything about Amy's actual honeymoon, but I must only take her word that what she said was accurate about it. There's 1 second left, Amy, to talk about my honeymoon, starting now.
When we
and
got...
Derek, no chat.
Hesitation. She hadn't said
anything. Objection.
Why do you object? I'll give you another go. You have 1 second to talk about my honeymoon starting now.
When we got to...
I think we'll give it to ladies as she's the first time she's a guest, Derek. You did manage to press your buzzer very quickly, but Amy is now in the lead. And Amy, you're going to start the next subject, and we'd like you to talk for just a minute, if you can, please, about my bedroom, starting now.
My bedroom is very pink, and it has a bed in it, and it has two little side tables, and a great wardrobe that goes practically all the way around, and a telephone. I like to go into my bedroom when I want to sleep and when I want to think. I think in my bedroom because I think it's very relaxing, and I talk in my bedroom an awful lot because the phone's there.
Derek Nimmo.
I'm worried about her husband, actually. Why all these honeymoons she's been on?
You never know, Derek. If you were patient, he might even come into her bedroom.
She was talking to herself.
She was still quite definitely on about her bedroom. And Amy, it's still with you. My bedroom, starting now.
My bedroom is lovely to think in, so I go in there and I want...
Clement Freud.
Repetition.
Yes, she did say it was lovely to think in before. I'm sorry, Amy. Clement Freud, my bedroom, starting now.
My bedroom is lovely to think in. It has walls and a ceiling and a counterpane. It also contains a bed and a wardrobe in which I hang my clothes. My bedroom overlooks St. John's Wood, mostly because I live in St. John's Wood. Looking out of my bedroom window, I see streets, and in the evening I see streetlights.
Derek Nimmer.
Deviation. He's talking about streets outside his bedroom. His left bedroom. Now, I climb through the window out in St. John's Wood.
All right, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. My bedroom, starting now.
My bedroom's absolutely delicious. I have on my bed 40 jackal skins I got on Addis Ababa.
Herman Freud.
That's kinky. Or deviation, as you put it.
Have you really got 40 jackal skins?
I really have, yes.
Well, then I think it's justified.
Absolutely, truly.
I don't believe you.
Absolutely, truly.
Well, we can only take Derek Nimmo's word for it, and I'm afraid we haven't got time to send someone round
there. You're going to start to
see it. So, Derek Nimmo. My bedroom, and there are still 15 seconds left starting now.
Behind my bed, I have a zebra skin, which I can lean back on, together with my wife, because we spend a lot of time in bed together. Also in the room, I have a television set, which is poised so I can view it and from lying amongst my jackal skin.
Clement Freud, would you like to take up the game now and talk about racing for just a minute, starting now?
Racing usually means horse racing, and in the horse racing annual calendar, there are five classic races. These are for three-year-old horses, both fillies and colts. The first one is the 1,000 guineas, the second the 2,000 guineas, followed by the Derby and the Oaks, which are run at Epsom, and towards the end of the year, the St. Ledger, which is run at Doncaster. Racing is a pastime to which many rich people subscribe, but an awful lot of poor people own racehorses and go bankrupt trying to make ends meet. Racecourses in England start in Newton Abbot in Devon. You then have the Devon and Exeter course and go up through Wincanton Racecourse, Thornton.
Derek Nimmer.
He's talking about the courses, not the actual racing.
Oh, dear. It's so difficult. Racing takes place on race courses. I'm going to appeal to our audience, which I've done before, and ask them to judge this tricky point. Now, do you think that Derek Nimmo's challenge of deviation was justified? If you do, will you clap? And if not, will you boo? I think there with Clement Freud. So, Clement, you have 14 seconds left for racing, starting now.
There's also go-kart racing and racing on by people against...
hesitation.
Definite hesitation.
Yes, all right. Una, would you like to take over the subject for racing, starting now?
There are all sorts of ways of racing. You can race against time. You can race for the bus. You can erase a mark on a piece of...
As the hooter went while Una was speaking, she gains a point. And the score, by the way, at this particular point, is Derek Nimmo and Amy MacDonald equal in the lead, closely followed by Clement Freud, closely followed 1 point behind by Una Stubbs. And Una, it is you to start. We'd like you to talk, if you can, on the subject of the oldest joke in the world, starting now.
The oldest joke in the world is, who was that lady I saw you with last night? That was no lady, that was my wife.
Derek Nimmo, you challenged.
Well, I don't think that is the oldest joke in the world. Many older ones, isn't there?
Well, I think you only justify that by telling us an older one.
Why did Father Time cross the road to get to the other side?
Oh!
Well, they groaned. There must have been.
Nobody groaned and nobody challenged. I will tell you the oldest joke in the world. Oh, Amy MacDonald, you've come.
I don't think it's the oldest joke in the world, and I'm not very good at jokes, really. But there is a joke, I think it's pretty old. Do you want me to tell it?
Carry on as rapidly as you can, talking about the oldest joke in the world, starting now.
Well, there was this little cat, you see, and... No, there were three little cats, sorry. And they all had collections. One collected beans, one collected beer, and one collected cha-cha-cha records. And one day, they all went out for a walk. And when they came back, all their collections were gone, you see. So they all turned round to each other and they said, oh, where are our collections gone? So suddenly they looked round and there's a little mouse in the corner going, oh, cha-cha-cha.
I quickly continued talking before somebody challenges you.
Well, I'd say another older joke then, if you like.
What do you challenging for?
Well, it's not the oldest joke. Deviation, you see.
It is deviation. One of the... It wasn't. It was hesitation. I mean...
Oh, hesitation. I don't mind.
Sigmund Freud.
Hesitation.
Hesitation. You are right. You've got it. Sigmund Freud. The oldest joke in the world, starting now.
How long have I got?
You've got 13 seconds. It may be a fairly quick one.
I think the oldest joke in the world is sitting not very far from me and is called Derek Nimmo. Few people laugh at Derek Nimmo, which is because he is such a very old joke.
Amy MacDonald, we are back with you, and we want you to tell us, if you can, in just a minute, about your school days starting now.
Well, I don't think my school days were the happiest days of my life because I was always in trouble. And there was a nasty little boy that used to sit behind me and do terrible things to me. I used to have very long hair and he did the usual things like sticking it in ink wells. And I wasn't very clever. And when I first went to school, we used to get the belt. And I always got the belt because I wasn't very clever and I used to talk a lot. And this belt was long and it had three thongs at the end. And we used to have to stick our hands out and we got it right on the end of our fingers, which wasn't very lovely. And often in school, we had to eat. And the school dinners weren't very lovely at all because the potatoes were a bit green and the mince was always a bit runny. And I don't like mince anyway. And also, to get to school, you see, I had to go on a bicycle. Wasn't very far from where I live, and I couldn't ride this bicycle very well, and everybody used to sort of laugh at me. So I...
I think you just got in before the thing. Now, that's one of the... Only the second time, that this has happened, that somebody has spoken for just a minute without being challenged, and I think an extra round of applause, as well as a bonus point, to Amy MacDonald. Well done, Amy. Clement Freud, would you like to talk for just a minute on Cutting's books, starting now?
Cuttings books are large scrapbooks into which one sticks one's newspaper cuttings. I've been keeping Cuttings books for many years on all sorts of subjects, like the lovely Amy MacDonald, keeping pigs, my bedroom, and a number of other fascinating topics. Each Cuttings book has a different color and has entered on the outside the dates appertaining to the cuttings which are stuck inside it. There are a number of ways of sticking things into Cuttings books, among which flour and hot water is probably the cheapest, and specially treated paper of a kind that one is not supposed to talk about, possibly the most expensive. The great danger about Cuttings books is that when you put in the pieces of paper which you want to refer to later on, is they tend to stick to each other. So when you finish with a Cuttings book, the whole book is stuck together and you can't open it again, which is very useful because by and large you don't want to open the things again because you're bored.
Well, we are being brilliant today. Closely followed by Amy Donald is Clement Freud, speaking for the first time for just a minute without being challenged, without deviating, without pausing, without hesitating. Another extra round of applause and a bonus point to Clement Freud.
I think you ought to explain that Derek Nimmo has fallen asleep.
Una, would you like to talk for just a minute on a delightful subject of making a cheesecake, starting now?
For this cheesecake, you'd need 1.5 pounds of curd cheese, a cup of caster sugar, a spoonful of corn flour, 3 eggs, and 3 ounces of butter.
Amy MacDonald.
Cheating, she knows how to make cheesecake.
Is that why you're challenging?
Yes.
It doesn't fit into the game. I'm very sorry, Amy. So you've given Una an extra point. Una, carry on with your cheesecake starting now.
7 or 8 digestive biscuits and a push-up bottomed cake tin. You cream...
Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation. She said you cream. Or repetition.
She certainly hesitated. Derek Nimmo, How about your cheesecake? Can you talk for the 42 seconds left on making a cheesecake, starting now?
Well, I should hire a little studio in Soho and advertise for a young lady to come along to be photographed. This would be my cheesecake photograph. And I should hope to make my cheesecake immediately after I'd photographed her. I would ask her to come into my little room instead. Oh, dear, hurry up and stand.
Are you challenging?
I'm buzzing because I think it's getting very cheeky.
Are you going to challenge for cheek or something else?
Hesitation.
Oh, no, he didn't hesitate at all. Derek, you still are making a cheesecake in your studio. And you have 22 seconds left for this cheesecake. Continuing now.
I shall photograph my cheesecake on 40 jackal skins, which I should spread across a bed, which I would specially bring from my home address. There she would lie, and then when having photographed my cheesecake, then I would sell the rights of the photographs to such magazines.
Clemens, illegal.
Whether it's illegal or not, is there any other justifiable reason within the rules of the game for which you challenge?
This is a deviation from the law. Illegal.
Ian messed up all the game. What do you consider on this occasion, Ian?
I think Clement is right. It's a deviation from the law.
You have 4 seconds on which to make a cheesecake, Clement Freud. How would you do it, starting now?
You start with butter or margarine, of which you take 4 or 6 ounces and cream them in a bowl with...
Well, as the buzzer went, as Clement Freud was speaking, he gains an extra point. And Derek Nimmo, it is your turn. We would like you to speak for just a minute, please, on the subject of gate crashing without ever using the word I. We start now.
The most expert person that is known to me
Clement Freud.
As a gate crasher.
Yes, all right, he hesitated. Clement Freud, without using the word I, would you talk on gate crashing starting now?
When we want to gate crash a party, we usually go to parties. We knock on the door and wait for someone to let us in. We only ever gate crash parties to which we have not been asked, because otherwise it wouldn't be fair. We come dressed in our best party clothes and say, thank you very much for inviting us. It was most kind of you, which makes the host think that he has, in fact, invited us, which he hasn't. A good way to go gate-crashing into a party is to bring along a glass with you, and then people think, aha, he has been in before, and he is coming back. Let us let him in. Another very excellent way of gate-crashing, which we found to be most beneficial and reaping rewards second almost to none, is to go with a whiskey bottle into which you stick a candle. You light the candle, and nobody thinks that there's whiskey in the whiskey bottle. So people say, what a clever man to do all this without...
What a clever chap as well, because once again, he wasn't challenged, he did so well. And very cleverly bent the rules to his own advantage. Una, would you like to talk now, without using the word no, and without using the word and? And the subject is, what to sell at a jumble sale? I'll give you a second to think about it. What to sell at a jumble sale? You mustn't say no, and you mustn't say and. And you start now.
Hesitation.
Right. No no's and no ands. What to sell at a jumble sale, starting now?
Sausages, tomatoes, old socks, old boots, cabbages and kings, newspapers.
And?
Una?
Yes,
right. So, well spotted. Una, you still have quite a lot of time. What to sell at a jumble sale, starting now?
Sell at a jumble sale, you would advertise in a local paper for any leftover clothes from very tall girls. You would go and collect these clothes in a horse and cart.
Clement Freud.
And cart.
Well done. Clement Freud, there are still 37 seconds. No no's, no ands. What to sell at a jumble sale, starting now?
Jumble sales are very good institutions, invariably set up by the parson or other cleric of whatever parish the jumble sale happens to find itself in. The sort of things that you are likely to find on the shelves of stalls to which you might go are items of clothing, articles of footwear, hats, or all sorts of outer garments which could be taken off, put onto shelves, sold to the general public, who are invariably happy.
Amy MacDonald.
Hesitation.
Oh, yes, well, it's almost... Feel him thinking, couldn't you, audience? I think on this particular occasion we will allow a little leeway for thought because of having to think about the nose and the ants. And I will give the benefit of doubt to Clay. Clement Freud, would you continue with the subject? I'll give you the time. There are only 2 seconds to go, actually. And no nose, no ands in 2 seconds. What to sell at a jumble sale starting now?
Vicar's old pantaloons.
Okay. And I thought that was a very noble effort, Clement. It was very, very difficult. All right. Derek Nimmo, would you like to talk about this audience, that is the subject. We'll give another penalty, because I think it's rather interesting. And this time, not to use the word the. Even more difficult. You mustn't use the word the. The subject is this audience, and you start now.
When this audience came in and sat in ye seats in ye auditorium, they appeared to be most comfortable. When I looked around me and I saw ye smiling faces on ye heads. Hesitation.
Oh, ye speak truly. Clement Freud, this audience, remember the word the and start now.
This audience is particularly attractive. I have seen many among them whose smiling faces and happy dispositions were of such subtle and beautiful simplicity that I said unto myself, what a charming audience the British Broadcasting Corporation have gathered together, and nobody noticed that I used the definite pronoun.
Did you notice, or did
yes,
you, because Clement
British
said it?
Broadcasting.
Yes, oh, that's right, you did notice. We spotted it here, but we didn't want to say it. Amy, right, the subject is this audience, a point to you, and know these. Start. Oh, you don't have the time. You have 17 seconds left, starting now.
This audience is made up of several ladies and several gentlemen. A lot of the ladies are wearing hats and have got a lot of smiles on their faces.
We've had an awful lot of smiling faces. We've had a lot of flattery flying
yes,
around.
Yes, we've had their repetition. You refer to their smiling faces.
And played it too, you see.
Well, you won on deviation, a point, and you have 8 seconds. This audience, know the starting now.
One of the audience.
Clement Freud. Hesitation, right? You still have 5 seconds. This audience, starting now.
Among this audience, particularly, I would like to commend a gentleman who is wearing.
The score at this particular point is Clement Freud, 18, who's now taking commanding lead. He is followed by Derek Nimmo and Amy McDonald, equal with 10. And a little way behind is Una Stubbs. Now, Amy McDonald, let us go faster this time without any penalties and ask you to talk about the subject of holidays starting now.
I like holidays because it gives you plenty of time to relax and have a good time. The best bit about holidays, I think, is sunshine. And I always like to go where there's lots of sunshine and sit on a beach and lie in the sunshine and get very brown. I also like to eat on holiday, so I prefer to go abroad where the food is different and interesting. And I also like to swim and do things that appear to me. I'm thinking.
Una Stubbs.
Quite a lot of hesitation.
Quite a lot of hesitation. Una, will you take over holidays starting now?
A modest.
Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation.
Holidays, Derek Nimmo, starting now.
Down to the Sussex hillside. On my tricycle, riding down with my rucksack on my back and my Union Jack in my right hand. And I think to myself, what
Una
fun
Stubbs
it will be when I. What?
Why are you challenged?
Well, it's sort of repetitious of what's gone on before.
Yes, we've had his rucksack and his Union Jack many times before. If not in this show, we've had it in another show anyway.
Yes,
so, all right. You've got it back, Una. You've got it back, and you have 15 seconds for holidays starting now.
Holidays for me are just leaping into bed and sleeping for several weeks or.
Derek Nimmo.
Repetition. Back in my bedroom again.
You didn't have a go in the bedroom.
I mean,
you mean you justify, because everybody else had a go in the bedroom and you haven't.
Well, he was talking about his zoo or something when he
yes.
was.
Well, it's a very strange way of leaping into bed and sleeping. But anyway, all right, Una, we'll give it to you. You have 12 seconds to go. Holidays starting now. Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Hesitation. Holidays starting now.
The nicest sort of holiday is when Derek Nimmo takes a rucksack bedecked with a Union Jack and goes to Calais.
Derek Nimmo.
I quite agree with him. But anyway, it's bound to be repetition, but I was had it disallowed.
All right.
Still my rucksack, still on my back, and still getting out of Sussex.
By the way, you were sort of trying to browbeat the chairman and justify your point before you've even had a chance to adjudicate, as they say.
Yes.
All right, we have 3 seconds left, Derek Nimmo. Holidays, starting now.
Wallowing in the Cyprus sunshine, I lie with my tricolour.
Then I've just time to say that the victory in this program went to Clement Freud. Closely followed by Derek Nimmo, and equal third, Una Stubbs and Amy MacDonald. And this is Nicholas Parsons saying goodbye.
It was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.